Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Aiden to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Micah will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Emmanuel. Aiden, can you read Emmanuel's question for us?
Will the soldiers that came to get Elisha when he prayed and they were blinded and he led them inside the gate and fed them, will they be in heaven?
That's a great question. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know. Like everyone who will be in heaven. The Bible simply does not tell us who all will be in heaven. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 20 to 23.
So it was, then they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were, inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel.
So in this story, this army had come to capture Elisha. Elisha had prayed that God would blind these soldiers, and that's what happened. Then he walked out of the city where he was staying, and he directed them and led them to Samaria inside the city, and then prayed that God would open their eyes. And when they opened their eyes, they saw that they were in the middle of Samaria, surrounded by the Israelite army.
I would love to see the looks on their faces at that moment. Like, all of a sudden, they can see, and they're in the enemy city, surrounded by the enemy.
Yes. And what is normal, if your enemy is within your power, you could easily kill them.
Yeah, you destroy them.
And that's what the king asked. My father, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them? And Elisha said, No. You shall not kill them, is what he said. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? And then he had them do something else. Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So rather than kill them, he told them to take care of them, feed them, give them water to drink, and then send them away in peace. This is not a normal war strategy, is it?
No, it's not.
To defeat your enemy. The Bible says that he prepared a great feast for them. After they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. And then the last part of verse 23 says that the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel.
So they left and they're like, okay, we're good.
We're not going to fight them anymore.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the most important thing here is when there are people or bullies or people who are mean to you, it's so easy to want to just retaliate and to get even and to get back. But when we follow Jesus and we do his plan and his way, then all of a sudden we're kind to them and we do good things, and it will turn our enemies into our friends. So that's pretty neat. Now, will they be in heaven? Well, we don't know. Only God knows. But we do know that the kindness that was shown to them made a difference in their lives. And who knows? Maybe they will end up being in heaven because of that kindness. Either way, it's important to be kind to others. We are so glad that you joined us today. If you want to find more programs like this, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. And we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Jessie Brown was 25 years old when she wrote this song. She was from Cleveland, Ohio, in the United States. Can you believe she wrote over 400 gospel songs in her lifetime? The man who wrote the tune for this song was Daniel Brink Towner. And he was also the one who wrote the tune for Trust and Obey. We had Trust and Obey earlier this quarter, didn't we? Well, Daniel Towner was the one who wrote the tune for Trust and Obey, as well as this song, Anywhere with Jesus.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me and this world below. Anywhere without Him, dearest choice would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep when the gloomy shadows round about me creep. Knowing I shall wake and nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Hi, boys and girls. We're learning about Stephen this week, aren't we? Yes, he was a faithful deacon who the Holy Spirit filled, and he was a mighty man of God. We're going to continue our story about him and what happened to him and his experiences, but first, we're going to pause and pray. Lord, we want your Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to understand. We love you. Amen. Stephen was one of the deacons in the Jerusalem church. He could speak the Greek language, and because he understood the Grecians, he could even teach them about Jesus. He was the perfect man for the job. Stephen went to the synagogues where the Grecians worshipped, and he showed them from the Old Testament that Jesus was the Son of God, the great Messiah. He proved that what the prophets said about Jesus' death had come true. But he probably told them that Jesus was alive again. And I'm guessing that he also told them that Jesus was alive again and that he had gone back to heaven. Then maybe he told them that Jesus would come back to take those who believe in him to the homes he was preparing for them in heaven. Well, how do you think that this made the priests and the rulers feel? They were mad. They were angry. They were like, whoa. This is getting out of control. This cannot happen. When they heard about Stephen's preaching, they sent their wisest teachers to argue with him. We'll show him that he's wrong. But did it work? No. Every time Stephen could prove that they were wrong, the Holy Spirit was giving him power to be brave and also power to say the right things. Let's look at Acts chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to go to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 10. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Remember, the Bible's divided into two parts, the what? Old Testament, good, and the New Testament. Well, in the New Testament, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts comes next. Who wrote the book of Acts? Do you remember? Luke wrote the book of Acts. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He went around hearing people's stories and writing it all down. And that's how we get the book of Acts. Well, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6. And then once you find chapter 6, then we're going to look at verse 10. Acts chapter 6,
verse 10. All right, here we go. Let's read Acts chapter 6, verse 10 together.
And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke.
It says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Wow. Here are the greatest teachers in the Jewish system, and they are talking with him and debating him and going back and forth, and they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Do you think it was just Stephen's words? Do you think it was just his wisdom or his spirit? No. His wisdom and his spirit are nothing. Who was giving him that special wisdom and the spirit? God was. Can you think of another man in the Bible? I'm thinking specifically in the Old Testament. Can you think of another man who was filled with wisdom, who was given lots and lots of wisdom? Who was that? It was Solomon, wasn't it? When Solomon became the new king of Israel, then God came to him in a dream and said, "What can I give you?" And what did Solomon say? He said, "I just need wisdom. I need wisdom." And God said, "You could have asked for money or for all these different things, but you asked for wisdom. Well, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm also going to give you everything else as well." And he was known as the wisest man who ever lived. So can God give wisdom? Yes, he can. In fact, in James, it says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So what do we do? If we lack wisdom, if we don't have wisdom, if I lack, that means I don't have. If we don't have wisdom, then what do we need to do? Ask God. And you know what the rest of the verse says? He will give liberally and without reproach. In other words, he will give you so much, and he will never say, "Are you still asking me for that?" No. He will always, always give us that wisdom. Well, the priests and the rulers, they didn't give up. Instead of admitting that they were wrong, they became even more angry. Sometimes when people are wrong and they don't want to confess that they're wrong, they get angry and they lash out. That's what the priests and rulers were doing. They wanted to find a way to kill Stephen. Reminds me of Daniel in the Bible. You have all those wicked princes who wanted to get Daniel out. And they kept trying to find one way or another way to get him out. Maybe he'll do this wrong, or maybe he'll do that wrong. And it wasn't working. Finally, they're like, "Ugh, we've got to find some way to get rid of him. What are we going to do?" And they realized that there was one area where Daniel would not compromise, and that was his God. And so that's what the princes did. They went and they made a rule that Daniel had to worship the king or be thrown into the lion's den. These priests were wanting to find a way to kill Stephen, so they decided that they were going to pay wicked men to tell lies about Stephen. Doesn't sound like a very good plan, does it? They're bribing people to tell lies about somebody who is innocent. They did the same thing with Jesus, didn't they? Yeah, they did. You know, Jesus sees everything that happens. Sometimes we get upset or we get confused as to why Jesus allows bad things to happen. I mean, if he's God, couldn't he just stop it? Yeah, he could. But he can also make good things come out of very bad things. And we're going to see a little bit later on this week about how something very, very bad happened. And out of that bad, there was still good. Jesus is right there with us. When we're going through hard times, when things seem bad, Jesus is walking right beside us. He's holding our hand. He's right there, saying, "Lean on me, trust me, it's okay. Even if things aren't right here on this earth, it will be made right when I come again. And if you are faithful, if you are brave, if you can stand for me, and I'll help you, you're not doing this on your own, I'll help you, then you will have the eternal reward." Boys and girls, so often we get stuck thinking that this life is all there is. and we just live for tomorrow. I can't wait to get up tomorrow so we can go play with our toys. Or I can't wait to get up tomorrow so we can go to the park. But there's so much more to life. This life is not the end. Heaven is the end. Heaven is the goal. That's where we want to be. And in order to be there, we have to be faithful. We have to stand for Jesus. But what I love is that Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't abandon us. He's right there with us, giving us wisdom, giving us words to speak, helping us to stand for Him. Aren't you glad that He's there for us? I know I am. Let's pray and thank Him. Lord, we want to stand for You. We want Your Spirit to fill us. We want to be brave. We want to be bold. Help us to see the opportunities around us to do what is right. We love You, Lord. Amen. It's our memory verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Even if we have to die here on this earth, does Jesus still want us to be faithful? Yes. And when we are faithful, what's going to happen? He's going to give us the crown of life. But boys and girls, just remember, we don't have to do it alone. Jesus is right there at our side, helping us to be faithful.
Revelation 2:10.
Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.